to encourage one another. Encourage one another with these words. Amen? And so now I've already given away what I'm going to be talking about, right? You know, I knew a couple weeks ago that I'd be speaking today, and I just really struggled with getting a message together. And first of all, just really not knowing where the Lord wanted me to go. I tell you, some things about the Lord is that there are moments that He will tell you way ahead of time what you're going to be doing, and so you can be preparing and so forth for that. And then there's other times He waits till the very last minute, and I don't like those very well. In fact, there's been times that I guess it was the very last minute. He changed my message just as I was stepping into the pulpit. And I don't like that. But anyway, but Lance was speaking last week. He made a comment about the alien debriefing that took place. Where was that? In Tennessee? And so something clicked. End times. I need to speak on the end times, and so this week has been a struggle. What do I speak about? Because I've spoken several different times on a lot of different aspects of the end times, but the Lord has been just opening up some new doors and understanding in the Scripture, and in fact, I found some things out this week that's just extremely encouraging. And so I want to share those with you today. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. We want to open up with that. First Thessalonians chapter 4. I've read this scripture to you many times. I've preached from it several different times here in this pulpit, and it's very appropriate to start with this one today. Are you there? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to start with 13, I think, where I wanted to start. Yep, that's right. There we go. The man is on it. He's got it up there. But listen to this. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brother. In other words, he doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to know and understand. Are you getting that? God wants us to understand. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that you who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the what? Trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall always be with the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Did you hear that? In other words, listen. The Scripture talks far more about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ than the first coming. And the Scriptures for the first coming were right down to detail. I mean, you could set your clock by it. It was so accurate. Are you with me? And so if the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and died for us and rose again, was on time and was on schedule, How much more do you think he will be in the second coming as well? And so the scriptures have a lot of detail that is given to us about the second coming. All right? Where we really flub up or stumble is there's really not much said about the rapture. Right? And so, what about the rapture? Well, there's not much in there about the rapture. But there are some specific things. And I think Jesus himself gave us some very specific instruction, and we've blown it off. We've missed it. We've taken it and miscalculated by it. Okay? And we're going to get into that here in just a little bit. Let's go on. Chapter 5. But as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. Did you just catch what he said? About the times, the seasons, and so forth, when all of these things are going to be taking place, really no one needs to inform you or give you any more information on that. In other words, you already know. You already know. Listen. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. Didn't Jesus tell us that? Yeah. But listen what else Paul says in this particular passage. And Jesus basically said the same thing. Listen. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. I just saw something else there. I'm not going to mention it, but that's kind of intriguing. Verse 4, let's go on. But you, brethren, say I'm a brethren. But you, brethren, are all sons of light and sons of day. Oops, excuse me, I jumped, didn't I? But you, brethren, are what? Are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief. In other words, those, when he appears and he comes like a thief in the night, he's coming like a thief in the night in those that are living in darkness. And what Paul is saying is that you and I are not living in darkness. So therefore, when Jesus returns, it should not be like a thief in the night to us. We should be expecting it. We should know when he's coming. But didn't Jesus say, we do not know the day nor the hour? He did. And that's a clue when he's coming. Yeah. And if you understand that, man, that narrows it down really narrow. It's true, we don't know the exact day or the hour, and I'm going to get into that here in just a little bit, but we do know the season. We do know when he's returning. Because the scripture says, when you see these things happening, remember I told you there's a lot of scripture, a lot of detail on the second coming of the Lord. And when you see these things taking place, look up. Why? For your redemption draweth nigh. Is the pastor only one paying attention? Is he the only one helping me? Come on, church. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do. That's the reason why you've been hearing messages. Wake up, church. Wake up. Realize the times that we're living in. Look at the season. Look at what's going on. Right? In other words, get ready. Get ready. For those who sleep do not sleep at night. For those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, in other words, those that get drunk at night, what do? They sleep during the day. Hello? But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for what? For wrath. Did you catch that? And we know that, right? We've heard that preached over and over again. For God has not destined us for wrath. Why? He saved us. He saved us. He's our deliverer. He's our Savior, right? That's what Israel was looking for and expecting in the first time He came. But He didn't come the first time to judge this world. He came to save this world, and He came to save this world in a way far different than Israel was expecting. They were expecting Him to deliver them from the Roman oppression. Come as a King of kings and Lord of lords. No, that's His second coming. Hello? Yeah, that's His second coming. And we're looking forward to that as well, right? And guess what? He is coming. He's coming, and He's coming soon, very soon. In fact, He's coming a lot sooner than I think most of us really realize. And so that's the encouraging word. I want to encourage you, man, get ready. Get ready. Begin seeking, you know, as Lance was talking about pulling out weeds. There may be things in your life you want to pull out. Why? Because He's coming for a bride that is spotless, without blemish. And so that means that you and I must be examining our lives and preparing ourselves and making sure that our garment is clean. In the Revelation, it tells us that the saints put on a bright, gleaming garment, and it goes on and tells us, and that garment is the righteous deeds of the saints. So are you doing the right thing? Hello? Right. Don't get me wrong. We're blushed. We're washed by the blood. That's blushed. We are washed by the blood of the Lamb. That's what cleanses us to begin with, right? And then the garment of the garment is the garment of righteousness. Amen? And Revelation tells us that garment of righteousness is our righteous deeds. In other words, we've been saved not by works, but by grace, right? Through faith. Not of yourselves, not of your own doing, not of works, at least any man should boast. But now that you have been saved, fought for good works. Now that we're saved, we do the works that He's asked us to do, that He's told us to do, to fulfill and to fulfill it out, and so that our garment is nice and long and clean and bright. Amen? Okay. Well, first I leave off. I think we're ready for 9, right? Yeah, well, I think we read 8, but let's go ahead and read 8, and then we'll go on. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. Did you get that? Whether alive or asleep, we will be always forever with Him. So Christ is already in you, right? He's promised never to leave you nor forsake you. That does not change. Even when you pass from this life into the next, you're still with Him, right? Paul said to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. In other words, it was a great revelation. Okay? Therefore, verse 11, therefore, listen to this, encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. Amen? So we want to continue to build up one another and encourage one another with these particular words and with the words of His coming, the rapture. Encourage one another live godly, live holy lives. Be obedient to the commandments of Christ. And what was the commandment of Christ? Phyllis made reference to it this morning. We also sang about it in the songs, in the worship. What is the commandment of Christ? Yeah, love one another. And Paul, didn't he say, not only put on the helmet of salvation, but put on love. Put on love. Love one another. Love one another. Yep, that's what I'm saying. Love one another. Amen. So we know the seasons. Let's talk about the feast days. You want to talk about the feast days? I thought you probably did. It's the reason why we're going to talk about them. Because the feast days are very important. You know, there's seven major feast days that we're aware of and that we try to observe in our teachings and in informing you and so forth. And I don't know whether you noticed it or not. I'm sure you do, because a couple years ago I preached on that very specific thing, how Christ's first coming fulfilled feast days right in a row. The first one being which one? Come on, church. When he came, what was the major feast day that he fulfilled? Passover, thank you. Holy mackerel. You get the A for the day. Stephen, my man. Now, was that hard? Huh? No, that was not hard. So, Jesus fulfilled Passover. He was crucified on the day of Passover. Passover was instituted, remember, whenever Israel was in Egypt. And as they were getting ready to come out, they were told to take a lamb and bring it into the house and to keep it for so many days. And then they were to slaughter that lamb and to roast it. And then take the blood and put it over the doorpost, right? And then they were to observe that Passover throughout the centuries, throughout generations after that. Until he returns, to remind them of his deliverance. To remind them he delivered them from the bondage that they were in. And it was a type and shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came, because he came as the Lamb of God to be sacrificed to set us free from the bondage of sin and death. Hello? So he came and he fulfilled Passover on the day and the hour that the lambs were being slaughtered for Passover. And then the next one that he fulfilled was what? One, it's not hard, it's not difficult. No, that's the third one. Unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. Did you say that? Oh, you were wrong? Joanne is saying, no, you weren't. Should we take note of that? Joanne said that you were never wrong, or that you weren't wrong, at least in this issue. Unleavened bread. What is unleavened bread? Well, the observance of unleavened bread. It's another feast that they would observe, and they would go around, and of course, they would scrape up the unleavened. That was preparation for Passover, but the unleavened bread during the feast, what they would do, and we've been taught. I don't know that we've been taught so much here, during that Paschal feast and so forth, they would take the unleavened bread, and as the table was set, there would be 3 loaves of bread. And usually they were in a sleeve. Remember, it's matzah. And the 3 loaves represented the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they would be in a sleeve, and it would be in the middle of the table. And then they would take, during that meal, they would take that middle bread out and break it in half, wrap it in a napkin, in a cloth, and then go and hide it somewhere. The middle bread, which was who? Jesus. And he would be hidden. And then they would have to redeem him later. And the children would be released and go and find that bread. And if they found that bread, then they could use that as ransom for whatever they wanted. Sounds like a pretty good deal for them, right? Yeah. And Jesus was buried on unleavened bread for 3 days. He was hidden. And then he resurrected on which feast day? First fruits. First fruits. To the minute. And so you see how he fulfilled those first 3 feast days. And then the next one was what? Pentecost. 50 days later. And the Holy Spirit came. And the church was birthed. All right? So then what else? What feast do we have left? Yeah, we got 3 more. What are they? Feast of Trumpets. Yeah. Feast of what? Okay, yep. Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles, and the Day of Atonement. Okay? So let's just talk about those remaining feasts, because those are important to us. If he fulfilled those first 4 feasts in his first coming, then the latter feasts, do you think he might fulfill those in his second coming? Sounds like it, right? When the last trump sounds. Okay? So let's just talk about that. The Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets. I do believe that the resurrection will take place on the Feast of Trumpets. Right? We're going to talk about that a little bit more. But I can hear your minds. Okay, now if he comes, if the Lord Jesus comes on the Feast of Trumpets, then we can know the day and the hour, right? Huh? Feast of Trumpets? That's exactly right. They didn't know it started. There's a man that knows his Bible. Okay? So when Jesus said, no one knows the day nor the hour, I believe that was a sign for us. That was a signal that, hey, take note what I'm saying here. Doesn't mean you can't know, because even Paul told us that. And Jesus said the same thing, but you're not of the darkness that it should take you by a thief at night. In other words, you should know these things. You should be ready. You should be prepared. And whenever you're seeing these things starting to be fulfilled, that should be encouraging to us to get ready and begin looking up, because our redemption draweth nigh. And so the Feast of Trumpets, as we've already discovered, the Feast of Trumpets was one of those feasts when they did not know exactly when it was going to be. Because it was 29.5 days from the last new moon. And it was the Sanhedrin would send out 2 witnesses to go out and observe the sky and so forth, so that they would know exactly when the Feast of Trumpets would happen. Rosh Hashanah. And they would go out and examine the moon and so forth. Nope, it's not yet. The next day going, yep, this is it. And so then they would begin blowing the trumpets and so forth. It's the only feast we do not know exactly when it's going to start. It has to be observed. And so they did not know the day nor the hour. They did not know whether it was going to be 29 days or 30 days from the last new moon. Huh. Is that exciting? Hello. It ought to be. That ought to just really crank your Model T. Put. Right? Okay. Yeah, well, that's not quite going to work that way. Why would you want to do that? Why would... The thing of it is, here's the thing. When he returns, you're going to meet him face to face. We think, listen, and that is true. That's the mentality that goes on in the back of our minds. That's the mentality that the enemy wants to give it. Well, you can just kind of live your life until he shows up. Why would you want to do that? Because that spots your garment. And on that particular day, when the trumpets are blowing and so forth, and we will meet him face to face. Now, he lives and dwells within us, but there's that mentality, and it's a deceptive mentality from the enemy that, but he doesn't see these things. No, he sees everything going on in your life, even now. Whether you believe it or not. And he's with you right? He promised to never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you wherever you go. He sees the things that you see through your eyes. He's with you and experiencing the things that you're experiencing whenever you're living in sin. So understanding the season we're in should encourage us and cause us to want to live holy and pure lives. Listen, he's given us his Spirit to empower us to change and to live for him. Amen? Just take a look at Romans. It's what half of Romans is all about. Here's another deception. Is I think that there's a lot of Christians kind of give up, and well, I'm not so sure that's going to happen. They lose faith. Of course, the Scripture talks about a great falling away, right? In the end times. Okay, I was going to say, are we reading the same Bible? Yeah, right. There's going to be a great falling away. Okay, so let me get back on my notes a little bit so we can. Actually, I'm getting closer to wrapping this up than I thought. I told these guys I would try to keep it short. But we haven't finished yet, so I'm not promising anything. Okay, so where are we? The Feast of the Trumpets. Okay, so other names for the Feast of the Trumpets is Rosh Hashanah, which is the head of the year, right? The new year. Yom Tura is the literal... and the literal meaning of that, that's the biblical name, Yom Tur. And that's the day of shouting or blasting, right? When the last trumpets sound. Sounds like a rapture to me, right? And the Scripture tells us that when you see these things, then take note. Lift for your redemption, draweth nigh. Feast of the Trumpets represents the beginning or coronation of a king. Did you catch that? The Feast of Trumpets represents the beginning of a coronation of a king. In the coronation of a king, there's always a private service for the family, as well as then later a public service. And honestly, we see that with King David. When was King David anointed as king? Years before he was actually took that position. Remember? Samuel went out and to the family and said, let me see the sons. Don't you have another one? None of these are it. And then David came on the scene and said, this is the one. And he anointed David there. And then years later, he was publicly coronated as king. So the Feast of Trumpets is the coronation of a king. Guess what? We understand at at the Feast of Trumpets, the church is raptured. And we have a personal coronation with the king. Read Daniel, and you will see it described in detail. And then we return with him, and he'll be coronated as King of Kings and Lord of Lords here on earth. Amen? Is that exciting or what? Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Yep. Okay, well, let's move on. Oh, and also, wasn't it David's kingdom that was going to be a perpetual kingdom? Yes. And so David was a type and shadow of what was to come in the Lord Jesus Christ and reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever and ever, right? So we have the Feast of Trumpets and we have 7 days of awe. Did you catch it, Lance? 7 days of awe. What is that? Could that possibly be the last week of Daniel? You see, God owes the Jews another week. And that's before the Day of Atonement. When's the Day of Atonement? Full deliverance. Full deliverance. So we have the Feast of Trumpets on the 29th or the 30th day. Let's see. Okay, so that's all the information I'm going to give you. Was that enough? Was that encouraging? I'm not done preaching, though. So now that we have that information, now that we know, what's the fear? Why fear? Why fear? You know, on Friday mornings, we've been studying Revelation, and the comments have been made several different times about individuals that the ladies know that are afraid to read Revelation. Whenever they mention, we're studying Revelation in our Bible study, and I don't read Revelation, that scares me. Well, it shouldn't scare you. In fact, it's the only book of the Bible that actually has a blessing with it. That says if you read it and adhere to the words, you'll be blessed. Don't you want to be blessed? Then read Revelation. Read Revelation. It's full of hope. It's full of hope to the body of Christ. It's full of hope to the church. It's not to the rest of the world. It's not to the lost and dying. Are you hearing me? It's gloom and doom for them. But listen, for the church, for the body of Christ, it's great hope. It tells us how it all ends. It tells us how it's going to unfold. Right? And so we need to be excited and ready for it. Amen? Again, I feel like a lot of people, I don't know that it's going to pan out that way. I don't know that I'm going to go up in it or what. Listen, are you born again or not? If you're born again, you're going up in the rapture. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going up. You will meet Him in the air. Or if you die first, you'll meet him then. Regardless, you're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And that should not fear, you should not fear in that either. He's our Redeemer. He's our Savior. He died for you and I. He rose again for you and I. Right? He gave us His Spirit. He so desires to be with you and I that we should not fear. Speaking about King David, I think this is one reason why a lot of us have a fear. After the service yesterday, then we were on the way to Marshall to a graduation celebration. And Phyllis brought up about King David. And you, did you bring up about the sling as well? And about his shepherd sling. And I said, well, it's not just a shepherd sling. That was that tribe were taught how to use that sling. They all knew how to use it. And they were very proficient with it. And King Saul knew how to use that sling as well. And I made that comment, and I said, and he's the one that should have fought Goliath. King Saul was the king of Israel, but he was also the tallest of Israel. He was a full head above everyone else, right? But he was afraid. And Phyllis made a very profound statement, and it clicked. It goes, aha, to me. Why there's so much fear. And she said, yes, but King Saul did not have the relationship with God. So he didn't have the faith to believe he would carry it through for him. I believe the reason why so many people are afraid of the end time and so forth is because their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is not at the point where they don't really believe he's going to pull through for them. There's always that element of doubt in their minds. Don't be that way. Know Him personally and closely. Amen? Know Him without a shadow of a doubt. Know Him. Know Him. It's in knowing Him, not just knowing about Him, but personally knowing Him. And so how do you do that? You spend time in prayer. You talk to Him just like you would your best friend. You spend time reading the Scriptures so that you can learn more about Him and His character and who He truly is and who He is for you and I. The Scripture tells us that God is a God of love. He is love. Amen? And Jesus demonstrated the love of the Father through His death, resurrection. Love demonstrated for you and I. Understand the character. God is always faithful. He's always faithful. He's always on time. He's always there for you. He's always been there for everyone throughout Scripture. He will always be there for you. Amen? And you can only know that by knowing Him and knowing His character and who He truly is. We don't have to shrug back. It's the reason why the Scripture says, come boldly to the throne. Come boldly. Why? Because we understand who the Father is for us. Amen? In Romans, Paul says that it's our spirit that cries out, Abba, Father. It's our spirit because our spirit's been regenerated, been born again. His spirit connected and united with our spirit. Therefore, we know that He is our Father. And if you don't know Him as Father, then you need to get born again. And if you are born again and you've been struggling with doubt and fear about the end times, it's time to recommit your life to the Lord. It's time to examine your life and to do some purging, get rid of those things that are hindering. As the Scripture says, don't let us be snared once again with the snares or traps of the worldly ways. You can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God at the same time. I think I would rather be a friend of God. Amen? Especially today, when you see everything that's happening. I've shared several things with you, and I'm going to share this, and then I'm going to close. There's several things to keep your eyes on. Of course, Israel. Always keep your eyes on Israel. Because the end times, not about us. Listen, it's not about the church. It's about Israel and their relationship with God. Are you hearing me? So keep your eyes focused on Israel. What's going on there? Second thing, keep your eyes focused on the Vatican. The Vatican plays an important role in the end time. Not a good one. I'm just saying, not a good one, but keep your eye on the Vatican, on the Pope. Keep your eye on Europe. And keep your eyes on the Kingdom of the North, which is Russia, as well as those leading up to it. I'm talking about from Israel, going straight north. Keep your eyes on that, on those countries, how they align, how they get along, so forth. Another one to keep an eye on is I can't think of the guy's name offhand. The president of France. Huh? I can't hear you. Macron. Yes, thank you. Macron. Keep your eyes on him. Not saying anything, just keep your eyes on him, because he said some really weird things. He really has a desire to be the Antichrist. Just saying. He has made some statements about wanting to be the savior of the world. And he's talking about being the king. In Revelation, I know I'm getting close, I'm closing. In Revelation, when it's talking about the first white horse, that is not the Lord Jesus Christ. And he that rides on it, that's not him. He's the second white horse. The first one's the Antichrist. Okay? Guess there is a Savior in the Quran who rides the white horse, but he's a man of destruction. You don't have to make this stuff up. It's in there. It's in there. Amen? So listen, keep your eyes focused on what's happening around us, right? Keep your eyes focused on, and your spiritual barometer set at all times. And then as you see those things unfolding, and they are unfolding, and they're unfolding rapidly, listen, things can happen extremely. We have seen how the barometer of the world has changed drastically just in the last year, right? And if it's changed that much drastically in 1 year, it can, and it's speeding up. It's going to be even faster. So keep your eyes focused on those things that I've shared with you. Other things as well, but keep your eyes focused. And you're seeing those things unfold. Keep your eyes focused upon heaven. In other words, look expectantly for the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure that you're ready. Make sure that your family is ready. One of the things that you and I need to be busy about doing is making sure that the lost are coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I know lost individuals. And it's our job, it's our obligation. Their blood's on our hands if we don't share the gospel with them. Now, we can't make them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but we do have the obligation to share the gospel with them so that they know. Because whenever he returns and judgment is taking place, that's one of the things, they will be revealed to them. These are the opportunities that you had to come to know me, but you denied me in all of those instances. Amen. Don't let their blood be on your hands. Keep yourselves ready. Keep expectant. Encourage one another with those words. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.